Guys, happy Friday. Welcome back to the Local Roots podcast. I'm so excited to share this episode with you guys today. So excited, in fact, that I'm not even going to do our ads. I'm just going to remind you that, hey, we got blenders. You know them, you love them. They're great sunglasses. I wear them. Brian wears them. My wife wears them. Brian's mom wears them. They're just perfect for all occasions. And you can get 16% off with Local Roots 16 at checkout. Go check them out. And if you want to go fast, you're looking for some motivation, we also have a 25% off coupon code for Carbo Rocket. It's like a new nutrition. Oh my God. A nutrition fuel for when you're about to hit the mountain bike trail. I'm a big fan of it as of recently. Just gave it a try for the first time, and it's not too bad. Definitely worth exploring, especially at 25% off. So that coupon code is, of course, Local Roots Goes Fast at checkout. And those, of course, will be linked below. But the most important plug here is, of course, to go buy tickets to go see Joe Hertler in concert in Muskegon. Guys, I know where you live. I don't really know where you live, but our app tells us that we have listeners in Muskegon. We have listeners all over Grand Rapids and Western Michigan. So you guys, go check it out. If you haven't heard Joe Hertler, you know what? I hope he's cool with this. I'm going to make it the intro to this episode and the outro. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. And the show is actually, I think, September. His three shows, the weekend of September 11th. So be sure to book those. Brian and I already got tickets. Come hang out with us. Say hi. You know what? I'm going to stop rambling because you want to hear from Joe. You want to hear from Brian. You don't need enough. You've had enough of me. It's fine. Let's get ahead. All right. That's my time. Bye. In your life. I ain't got no money. Spent it on a jet ski. Feeling it drops. Everybody loves me. Now I ain't homeless, but nothing can you. I ain't got no money. Spent it on a laser. Do a dance party. DJ in the basement. Now I ain't homeless. Need a place to grow. All right. Your publicist, who, by the way, definitely tell them what a great job they did. We've tried to organize this with like some YouTubers and stuff in the past who just like, it's like pure chaos. And like, yeah. It was so nice having someone just like replying to my emails right away and just like, wow, what a dream team. Tell them how great they are.
Keep that in the podcast so she can hear it. Yeah. Juliana's okay. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. She's, it was wonderful.
Super pro and just like, a good person. I've known her for a while, just around like the jam scene, and it was really awesome to get to start working with her. She's a essential part of our team.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, let's just bridge right into it. Brian, is it even worth doing an intro? Let's get right into it. We got Joe Hertler here. One of our favorite, like sincerely, like one of our favorite musicians, not just like locally or anything, like we're up at the cabin at Brian's place. Like we're blasting your tunes and like, we're sincere fans. It's awesome to have you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. So we've been fans for a long time. It's going to be really hard not to have a sound just like gushing, creaming fanboys for this entire podcast, but
we'll do our best.
That sounds
fun. we've both seen you like a shit ton of times, listen to everything. And This is like kind of our, I think we've peaked as a podcast now that you're on. Like, this is pretty dope for us.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. True.
We're not going to hide our excited emotions.
You might remember,
at least I'm not.
Right. You might remember just like sometimes we'll be the annoying group of friends yelling, CMU!
Hell yeah.
just so that you'll address that you did in fact go to CMU.
That is the college in which I graduated from.
Hell
nice
yeah.
Place.
Well, hell yeah.
That rules. So first thing here is I saw you had a show last night that seemed mm-hmm. to be really cool at The Deck in Muskegon, right?
Yeah, it was really fun.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about that series.
So we were pretty set in not playing really any shows at all.
Yeah.
I think we just kind of accepted it. We were, I think a couple of us in the band have been personally affected by Corona. We had, one of the guys may have had it in the past. Like I had a family member die from it. And it's just like,
oh God,
a lot of some of our shared friends have gotten it, and it's just been like really bad. So we've been really hesitant to say yes to anything, but the deck approached us, and they just seemed really serious and trying to keep it as safe as possible. And I think our feelings on the current state of things just aligned, and we just wanted to take like every possible precaution that we could for this.
Sure.
For instance, you basically buy a table. If the tables are spread out, you could have up like 4 to 6 people at them. Masks are required. We just spread people out as much as we could. It's definitely weird playing a show like that.
There's not a bunch of people like bopping in the front, really. They're just all at a table.
Yep. You can't, it's impossible to ignore that there's just like no one up front. You make it, it's as good as you make it. So you just try to like kick back and,
is it just better to be out there again? I mean, I can't imagine how hard it was just to hit a wall of like, you guys were just probably touring and then just nothing. Does it at least feel good to get back on stage again?
It was really tough. I feel like I mourned it, pretty good about like, ultimately I like don't have control over something. I'm pretty good about kind of like trying to redirect my worry towards things like I can influence, like my actions and my attitude regarding this, which don't get me wrong, there's some shitty fucking days, but like, right, I mean, that's where everyone's at. So you just, we're trying our best, and, I think quite confidently everyone in the band wants to survive through this, and, I think we will. Yeah. So, it is absolutely a, breath of fresh air to play. I honestly felt like I kind of forgot what it was like over here getting domesticated. I got a bunch of like pets, me and my girlfriend are having a nice time hanging out. I'm like having a lot of success in World of Warcraft, writing a bunch of music. yeah. So it's like, all those things that like finding other ways to find joy, I suppose, and meaning in life without music. And it's like, start playing again. Well, first of all, it's like we had some sound issues going into it. So it was like, oh great. Forgot. This is what shows are like.
Right.
We're like scrambling to get the PA working like 20 minutes before we're supposed to go on. We hadn't even sound checked yet. We're running like 3 hours behind. So it's like, oh,
and then the
God.
Tech guy at the place probably hasn't put on a show in months either. Yeah, so he's like,
Our lighting guy buddy was like, thinking about going back to technical school. Everyone's like wondering what the fuck they're gonna do. And once you start playing, you shake off the jitters a bit, and it's like, oh yeah, this is what I do. This is what I like doing. This is what I've dedicated my entire life to.
sure.
No,
it feels nice.
Just so we can kind of get the word out, what upcoming shows do you have at the deck?
We have 3 more. It's in I think mid-September, right? Let me check.
Yeah, so while you're checking that, Brian and I already bought our seats. I can give a little explanation. We'll be there September 11th. Bringing our ladies, and can't wait for it. And the way they have it set up, it's like really cool. You buy your tickets, you got to buy a full table, but they're really not expensive. They're pretty affordable. Plus it's like, kind of like a bridge back into, like, this will be the first thing that I've gone to.
It's
like March, right? Maybe. So, I'm so excited. Just like, it's a safe way to like kind of get back to reality, even though, obviously it's not the same, but I know I'm really excited about it. Everyone should go check it out. We'll have it linked and everything.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I need to Venmo you still, Larry.
You're good.
Thank you for bringing that up.
That's the whole reason we're doing this podcast, is I'm trying to get my $30 from
because I haven't paid him. Also, one more thing, Joe. How much time do you have?
Just in general during a day, or to right now?
right now.
I probably like an hour or so.
Okay, cool. Sure. We just didn't know if you yeah,
we got like, a couple minutes, some
we gotta squeeze some shit in and
right. So just feel free. There's actually a chat here. Go ahead and like let us know if you gotta wrap things up and we'll just wrap things like, up.
Dude, shut the fuck up. We gotta go. You know,
yeah, cool. Just hear a bunch of furious typing and they'll be like,
wrap fuck up. Off.
See you later.
Go. No, no, we're good. Yeah, do y'all
awesome. Thing. So right. I kind of want to bring this back to the CMU days to get started here. I'm going to pass the mic to Brian just because our first show where we saw you was, first of all, such a great time. We've been fans ever since. But we actually met you and took some pictures afterwards. And yeah. You signed Brian here's shirt.
You did. I'm going to show you in the chat. I had it pulled up because I was looking at it earlier, obviously.
You signed it with a very fun name, and it was Bro Squirtler.
Bro Squirtler.
Yeah. Yeah, I got so, that nickname from CMU.
Ah, okay. I was wondering, is there like an alter ego going on there, or is it just a special coincidence?
I don't... When did you guys graduate?
There you are, Joe.
That's amazing. Wow, hell yeah.
So old.
Did you guys graduate, what, like 2013, 2014 maybe?
And that's the shirt.
Bro Squirtler.
Oh, hell yeah. You guys remember Jay Gary?
Oh boy.
I don't think so.
So he was the director for 91.5 and you know, I was like starting to get into music and stuff and we became friends. I also had a radio show for like 3 years up there too. And I think that's actually really where it started. I had like a house and techno show at Sunday nights.
Was it through the university?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually got in trouble for weed possession. I needed to get some hours. It's like they like dropped everything, but I had to do like freaking like 300 community service hours. I did like four of them at Goodwill and I was like, oh my God,
if never
I'm going to die if I spend any more time in this place. But so I was like, well, maybe I can hit up Jay about getting a public radio show. I'm like, public radio, that means it's community service, all right.
Talk about life hack, that rules,
dude. It was awesome. Yeah, it totally changed my life. I honestly
wow. And,
so I got this show and I had it for years and I really fell in. I was already in love with dance music and you know, I think this just like super solidified on. So I'd have people come, you know, we'd talk about, I usually bring my like EDM nerd friends on there and we'd talk about stuff, do like guest DJ sets and, you know, then I'd DJ too. I forgot
what fun.
Kind of went off on a tangent.
You know, but,
oh yeah, the name.
Bro Squirtler.
Where did Bro Squirtler come from?
Yeah, so Jay just started calling me that. Either I think he was on my show or I was on his and like, this was very early on in college, like, but yeah, he called me Bro Squirtler and that's been my gamer tag ever since.
Yes. I just remember just like, I don't know what it means, but it's hilarious and I love everything about it. It's so funny.
I asked you to sign my shirt and you were like, fuck yeah, bud. And like you signed my shirt and like we went on and like had beers and someone's like, look on the back of my shirt and they're like, who's Bro Squirtler? And I'm like, no. It says Joe Hurtler. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, you do.
Hell yeah.
You got pranked. He's dunking on your ass.
I would say I still sign like half the shirts with Bro Squirtler.
I think that's badass.
That is.
I kind of want to bring in, you mentioned like hosting a radio show. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. I was like digging through Audio Tree one day and I was watching The Front Bottoms, which is like one of my favorite bands. And then I was like, man, that host on this looks so damn familiar. And it took me like the whole episode to figure out like it was you. So you was that part of it or is that a separate thing working for Audio Tree?
No, I really wanted to. I don't even know how that came about. I think it was a joke. I've always been friends with Adam Thurston and they've just the Audio Tree people. We've been tight with them for years and I think they were missing someone. That weekend, they're missing Blake, who's doing their interviews at the time. And I think I was going to be in town for Riot Fest, and they had a bunch of bands coming in. Just somehow the conversation got started, and I was like, I'll do it. That sounds awesome.
Right?
It was so much fun. Yeah.
Is that the only one you did then?
Yeah, it was. I should have asked to come back. But like at the time, you know, they were saying like, I think Blake was looking to move on in a new career direction, which he since has, but they were looking for someone and And I was like, man, if I didn't have the band right now, I would move to Chicago in a heartbeat and do that. Like, it was so fun. I practiced for like hours too, just the questions and stuff. It was a little wordy and everything, 'cause they're pretty short with their interviews. But, you know, early on, kind of before our involvement, they really put a lot of emphasis on the interviews, and their interviewer was fantastic. Yeah. I can't remember. I'm totally blanking on his name. But yeah, they kind of started veering. I think he left and they started kind of just veering away from like the more in-depth interview where it's like a segmented, you know, 20, 30 minutes. He had that sort of like that Cheryl from KCRW or whatever, that, you know, her from,
no, I don't.
Portland, I don't either.
Portland Public Radio.
No, gosh, just NPR no. vibes.
Yeah, yeah, just like, okay. She's just like a pro. You know, they have all the big like right. new indie.
So the opposite of Brian and I, right?
No, you guys are doing great.
Thanks, I needed that.
But yeah, he had that kind of like that, just that vibe. We were like, this is a pro ass broadcaster. You know, just like a really great interviewer. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, sorry, I go off on tangents.
No,
that's the whole podcast. That's all we do.
That's all we do. So yeah, Joe, you've got a pretty good radio voice, it sounds like.
I think so. I always feel I'm like kind of nasally and mumble and ramble a lot.
It's working for you.
All right. It's kind of working for you.
Yeah, I do. I do love, you know, I loved having that radio show, and yeah, I do enjoy interviewing people and stuff. So maybe in another lifetime, we'll see.
Yeah, it's awesome. The last thing I'll say on that is just, I think maybe it remembers, it's like so stuck in my head too, because it's the only audio tree where every single person ended up with their shirt off at the end, which is pretty iconic.
Yeah,
it was the
front bottoms. Yeah, yeah, I don't know how that happened either, but I remember looking back in the chat and everyone was like commenting on my puffy nipples. Oh man.
Fuck, they're kind of puffy.
That's YouTube for you, right? Those turn to anything.
Bring it on.
Lira, I remember when you sent that to me and it was just like mind blowing. It was like my two favorite like new artists are like on the same screen. Like
what? It was around the same time, like when I was just discovering Front Bottoms and Joe Hertler. I was like, damn, this is tight. It's like, yeah,
those guys were the homies for a bit. Our first tour manager did merchandise. It was just like good friends with them. And so yeah, there was early on, you know, the stayed at my house a couple times, and I haven't talked to him in a long time since he left. You know, I've kind of fell out of touch with like that scene. But yeah, they're cool dudes. I think they're crushing it, especially in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard their new album. Maybe I'm just you know, a fan and that's why I'll listen to anything, but yeah. You know, I loved it. Yeah
and their new album's really good.
Songwriter. Yeah, I remember when they first got big, he was just like, man, I'm just trying to like soak this all in, because at some point, you know, it's going to be over, you know, and it could be over tomorrow. I've always kind of had like the same mindset with music, and, you know, here they are still plugging along and, you know, doing great.
Yeah. That's gotta be just like, does that bug you ever? Just like knowing, I mean, something like Corona even just probably like put such a, you know, flipping your world upside down a little bit. Like, I don't know, like, I'm just assuming you probably a lot of your like, you know, sustainable lifestyles through just touring, right? Like, is that something that like looms over you at all? Or are you able to, you know, subsidize some of these?
Yeah. I mean, I've been all right. I've been okay. I don't like fret about the end. It's something I like always kind of like focus on just in general. It's just
okay.
General impermanence of all things. And, you know, that things are
heavy.
And no, yeah, shit. It's just like something I accept. I think the difficult thing is like the ego side of it, where it's like, this is what I do. You know, this is what my identity is based around. And if I stop doing music, who am I? And I think that's something that all people, especially if you're like really involved in your career or whatever it may be, you know, it's like my stepdad, like, loves his job, you know, is really good at it. And, you know, he's in that retirement process right now. And I think that it's tough for a lot of people, you know, men and women alike
with
anything that really is definitive towards your identity.
Yeah. This is the most existential the podcast has got, but I love it.
No kidding. No kidding. All right. My turn for a question now.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't want to monopolize this.
No, it's good. Good shit. Joe, I want to hear about some of your college days. Just like, what was college life for Joe Hertler? I have a buddy, well, I guess it was acquaintance. I used to work with him at a sub shop in Mount Pleasant. His name was Dave. Dave did a lot of drugs. Dave probably nice. Still does a lot of drugs. But he said he slept on your couch for like a month.
Which Dave?
We have a couple have different like, Daves on the couch.
I had like a lot of Daves. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's a tall Dave.
tall Dave. Duh.
Tall Dave. Little lanky.
Davey.
Could be Davey. Dave. Yeah.
Dave. Yeah, dude. I.
Does he work at Firehouse? That he used to.
Yeah, he worked at Firehouse for a while. Yeah. Yeah. Davey was one of our many refugees over the years.
Yeah. Like, no. Buddy. Fuck yeah.
I love Davey.
I was I was doing dishes in the back, and I was playing your tunes, and he's like, "Yo. You like Joe Hertler?" I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "Oh man, I know him." And I was like, "Nuh-uh." And he's like, "Yeah, I slept on his couch for a little while." I was like, "Whoa."
Yeah, he was over every day. Yeah, we had a couple refugees. Our house was like known for like
refugees.
Like people who just like needed a place to for one reason or another, like didn't have a spot. Like, "Oh, yo, I just need a spot for like a month or whatever." And like next thing you know, like it's like 7 months have gone by and still on your couch. But Davey was one of the best. I love Davey very much. And yeah, he was a little more fur is ridiculous and over the top. Like he's a fucking cartoon character.
Oh, 100%.
He's got like such a huge personality, but despite that, like he's really a low impact kind of person. Yeah, you know, he's like more self-aware than I think you'd immediately assume. But yeah, I love Davey. Yeah, I think very fondly of him. He's actually my girlfriend works in my girlfriend works in like food, like evil company food production world.
Hell yeah. She just works in food. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
In the cheese.
It's like in a loaf of bread.
One of the plants that he just works at one of the plants in the area.
All right.
So he's one of the best pig carvers in the state, I've heard.
Respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. He used to slice up fucking ham at Firehouse. So, all right.
Yeah. That's where he found the affinity.
That's where he found. Yeah.
The Japanese are very, very particular about their pork. They're, you know, they have an extremely high standard for it. And that includes the processing and the carving of all of it. And I guess actually, Davey is like one of the best in the state at cutting up a pig to international standards.
That's pretty badass.
That's a cool talent to put on your resume.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah.
I like, can really shogun like some so pork.
Yeah. If you're good at it too, you get paid well. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Does he use the Davey's samurai sword?
Well, good to hear. I'm glad he's doing
I hope
well.
So.
You got it.
He's as good as everyone tells me. Probably using the samurai sword.
I mean, that's the only way to get that perfect kind of cut. From
exactly.
What I see.
Yeah.
What was your, where was your go-to like bar scene?
All over the place, really. I mean, I always loved the Bird. Of course, there's Rubbles was like, especially early on, that was like the spot to go, just because they had music and you could get in at 18. They locked things down, but
yeah,
I kind of just went wherever, you know. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of had a pretty wide ranging group of friends. You know, I'll have a lot of different groups of friends that are into different things. You know,
okay,
from like the total bros to like, you know, you're like ultra hipster or, you know, festy kids. And so it was like kind of whoever had something going on, you know, for the night.
Sounds like a good place to be.
Going. Yeah.
Like kind of just right in the middle going with the flow. The I respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's cool.
Were you ahead. Playing shows around then? Or were you just kind of like hanging out? Like when did you start like regularly, I guess, playing shows?
It started at Kaya like sophomore, junior year.
Coffee shop, right?
Yeah, that's kind of where things got started. I originally went to CMU for music school and dropped out like within a few months of, I mean, not of school, but of any desire of wanting to pursue classical music. I still had like some like leftover grad money, bought an acoustic guitar, and yeah, just started playing songs at Kaya, just writing this really like archaic, like terrible guitar playing, kind of like someone who never learned to play guitar but would like sit there all day and try to figure it out.
So it was, just like your four favorite chords, all right. And call it good.
Yeah, basically. And Yeah, it just started at Kai, and that kind of gave me a community, and, you know, my friends were super supportive. I was like the dude who'd kind of like run around on my dorm floor and like play songs for people, and but like the
everyone knows that guy.
Yeah, yeah, it was like it was a positive thing. It wasn't. I don't. Maybe I was annoying people, but I don't think I was.
Too bad if you were.
Yeah, yeah. So people were. My friends were like ridiculously supportive, and kind of right off the. I mean, within a year of doing those coffee shop shows, you know, it's like I could get all my friends. You know, my friends would always come out to like my little monthly 20-minute set or whatever, and it was just a really special time and all of it. It was really fun. And then later moved on to, you know, playing Rubbles. I befriended Ryan Hoger, my, you know, longtime musical best bud and guitar player. And you know, at some point
he's Ash Ketchum, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That guy. And yeah, it just kind of went from there.
That's so great.
Started doing the Rainbow Seeker stuff a little later on, actually. That was honestly okay. Like senior to super senior year is like when we started playing shows. So it was a little, yeah. And even then, it wasn't until 2 or 3 years after college that we were like, hey, let's give this a shot. You know, it was kind of like just had this like don't really give a fuck attitude. Like,
all right.
It was just like, it wasn't like some big priority.
Not to cut you off or anything, but like, on one hand, it's like you don't give a fuck, but at the same time, it's like giving every fuck ever to kind of just like pursue something like that. In my opinion, that's like, it's not just like something you do, I don't think, right? It's like, that's something that takes a lot of courage, in my opinion.
Yeah. And we put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, totally.
I think it was a lot of time.
It's definitely a lack of like any real deeper self-awareness about it. You just kind of like made this stuff you wanted to make, and you're just,
that's sweet.
And the time you put in was just driven by the massive excitement towards it. So it was really fun.
Do you remember your first like show as the full-on Rainbow Seekers?
Yeah. We weren't called the Rainbow. Our first like gig was at this thing called Mitten Fest. That was this big annual show, and it was like super hip at the time, and like led by a really like deep roster of like kind of folk rock musicians, especially out of like Ann Arbor and Ipsen, like the Michigan, like the hip Michigan music scene was like very centered around that during that time. Those are the
was the show in Ann Arbor.
It was in Ypsilanti. It was on
Ipsy.
My future bandmates were in another band. We had just started hanging out, and they were booked for that too. I was playing it solo, and we shared a hotel room, and kind of somehow they ended up putting we just ended up jamming to some of my songs in the hotel. And then from there it was.
So you poached them out of other bands.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, they were breaking up. This is like their, like one of their last shows.
I know.
They played for my set, and that like the rest was history, really. It's like,
that's, I think, a cool
6
story.
Months after that or so, we were like the Rainbow Seekers, and but we were practicing together, I mean, pretty much from that point on.
Damn, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool little origin story there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, friends to this day. So.
Are you, I mean, not to totally derail us, you're living in Michigan now, are you in the Western Michigan area?
I live in Lansing.
Lansing? Okay. Yeah, I was there for a little bit. I'm curious, just to kind of go a little kind of on track with what we usually talk about on this podcast. Like, Brian and I are both into like mountain biking, kind of adventure stuff, like a lot of Northern Michigan activities. Do you have any like favorite parts about Michigan, or like regularly like visited, I don't know, trails or anything like that? Are you, any of that interest you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty, of all my things I'm stoked about in the world, like doing stuff outside is at the peak. I'm a very involved paddler.
Okay. That's tight.
Tens of thousands of hours in kayaks and canoes. That's my main thing, but also a lot of, really, I like winter camping and hiking. Cause normally we tour in the summer. So it's like once kind of October, you know, we'll sort of have a break through like end of October to like January. So that's when we do all of our camping, and, you know, I think by proxy, you know, I've gotten a lot of the bandmates into it.
Cool. It's like only losers go regular hiking. I need it to be challenging and ice cold.
Yeah. It's
make it harder.
It's,
yeah.
It's empty. There's no one threatening. There. Yeah. It's like, you don't got to worry about ticks or mosquitoes.
That's kind of true. Yeah.
There's the gear. That's fun. You know, there's a whole
hypothermia. No big deal.
it's really not bad. As long as you're geared up for it, like, you're fine. If you, like, the first time I went, you know, you make mistakes, but you quickly fucking learn, like, how to, you know, spend a week and, you know,
up where north. Are you usually going on these trips?
I love, like, the Manistee, the Pine River, but generally, you know, the Manistee is the closest. So that's usually where I go. So I'll generally along the river, cause there's easy water access and, you know, you can still fish. And, usually we won't do like super hard hiking, in the winter. It's just, you know, it sucks setting your shit up all, you know, and tearing it down in the winter, but it's funny.
It sucks, like, all the time, but
hike in a couple hours and post up and, you know, just, I'm doing my first like longer solo winter trip in end of December. So I'm really excited for that.
Where are you going?
Rad.
Just the Manistee.
Okay.
I'm doing like kind of like ground that I know well, just in case like I cut my, I don't know, chop my hand off or
get some 20.
Or you do get hypothermia.
Movie? What's the movie where his arms cut it? Talk like his stuck in the rocks. He has to cut it off. That's so bad. That's it.
I would try to be
49
safe.
Hours.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's a, I love going outside. I do like 3 or 4 big annual like kayaking trips with my friends and the bands involved in that. And definitely kind of like a rallier in general and try to get people together to do various activities. And a lot of that is, you know, going on psychedelic adventure club trips, you know, having a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Are these like day trips or week trips?
So like our annual death trip, which is like our main
sounds very
camping
nice.
Our main paddling
sounds
trip.
Relaxing.
We'll get we get anywhere from like 15 to like 25 people going. And that'll be like 5 days really. And then winter camping is usually 3 to 4. For the bigger trips, it's usually like Thursday through Sunday, but I mean, I can just sort of go whenever. So sometimes it's like, you know, me and my girlfriend paddled from Sleeping Bear to South Manitou with like my best friend. And that was like probably about 5 days. We just did a week in the Boundary Waters in Minnesota/Canada. So it all depends, you know, just whatever you got time for. I like doing longer stuff. Like I like 4 day plus, but when you have big groups, it's a little easier to make them shorter. Just because sometimes things do happen, you know, there's been some oh fuck moments, especially when in the cold water. So,
oh no. Well, yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad I asked. That sounds like a really cool time. And I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who does like winter adventures. That's rad.
Yeah, I definitely, I love the cold. Like I'm ready for summer to end. I just thought like, I don't like, doing like the Manistee River Trail in the summer. Kind of, I like it, but there's just fucking people everywhere. I'm picking tits off. I'm like, man, there's so many people. And like the Pine River, which is like the most sacred ground for me in this state, it's like you go out there and there's like hundreds of people on these giant inflatable rafts. There's beer cans everywhere. I'm like, this is like the most beautiful river in all of the Lower Peninsula, and it's just like being shit on by a bunch of like cowgirls.
Woo girls too.
I don't know. Girls. They're fine. They're up there just having fun. Like I'm totally down with that. It's just like you just see just people get wasted and just have no regard for the river. Like just take some acid or something
and like chill the fuck out.
Keep your fucking beer cans in your canoe or whatever. So anyways. I guess I like to go in the winters because I don't have to think about.
You don't have to worry about other. I mean, it makes sense. People. You want to go out and be alone and be one with nature. And when you got a bunch of randos all over, it throws off the vibe. It makes sense.
A little irritating. Yeah. I get you. Joe, why we have you, switch gears. I really want to ask a question. I'm dying to ask. I want to hear the story about the video for Eagle Lost on Grand River.
Yeah. It's.
How did that come to be? It looks so fucking cool.
Yeah, our original bassist, Kevin Pritchard, who still like produces our, he's still involved in the band in a lot of ways. He's produced most of our tunes, but he's always like that friend of yours that just has like the good ideas.
So like Larry, yes.
Yeah. He was like, why don't we try to like just game the MSU parade? And like we submitted a float because that's all we really needed was like a group of people to sign for it. And like afloat.
Okay.
So we pitched this idea. They said yes, and then we just showed up with a crappy white, you know, F-150 or something, painted an S on the side of it, and threw a couple Sparty. Cameras, and just got all our friends, you know, a bunch of our friends to show up, and we marched through. Did I think 3 takes?
Damn!
Wow!
Yeah, it was fun. It was just like a cool idea, and it was part that really like got the band started. You know, if it weren't for Kevin in those early days, like I can't imagine that we would have really gone anywhere, because he was the one that was always coming up with ideas like that.
Brian, remind me to link that below for some context for people. So
yeah, sure. It just looks like so just like impromptu.
I actually haven't seen it. I don't know if you could explain it just briefly, just because I'm a little lost, if I can be honest.
It's literally it's a MSU parade down
right,
Grand River. Yep, and then the band just like comes out of the crowd.
Oh, really?
Start singing, and they're just like in like the whole song, and then they just, that's it. And it's freaking badass.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds super cool. Okay. I'll check it out. Just pausing real quick. We only got about 5 minutes left here because I do not pay for full Zoom, because I paid for stupid Zencaster, which actually sucks. Just any other things we'll hit on here, and we'll go till it dies. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure. If you guys want to, if you want to start back up or whatever. I don't know how long you typically do these for, but
I got sure. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Then let's just go. And if we get cut off, I'll what is it called? Create. Cool. Do you create a Zoom, or do you just Zoom?
I think you birth it.
Do you do a big Zoom?
You birth a Zoom.
Okay. All right. I guess
no one likes that idea. Okay.
You don't birth the Zoom. It's disgusting.
You don't birth the Zoom. It's fine.
I was into it, dude.
Oh, okay. Right. Well,
thanks. I appreciate you.
I'm curious real quick. I don't know if you, it sounds like maybe you're not into beer so much, but are there any, like we touch on like Michigan craft beers a lot. Do you have any go-tos if you do enjoy a beer or?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Shorts has their lager that I really like, actually. Okay. I'm kind of like, classic. Honestly, like a Miller Lite, like Rona kind of guy.
Right on.
I'm like a basic bitch when it comes to beer. I think I'm like allergic to some microbrew, so I got to take it easy. But
oh, that's kind of scary.
Too hard ale. I drink a lot of the short ciders too. It's not allergic. I just get like red and sweaty and like just
you lose your balance and you start getting a headache if you have too many and you start seeing weird stuff. It's weird. Yeah,
it's weird. Oh. It only takes like two. But,
no, I feel you. My dad's like that. Two Hearted is his favorite beer of all time, but he can only have like two of them. Otherwise, he's like literally just like blowing snot. Like, he's like,
I can't breathe. It's so crazy. Yeah. Especially it's like once the hangover hits and like you just can't breathe through your nose. It's a bummer. Yeah, Two Hearted is like, as far as IPAs go, is like it's just the one I will generally go to. And I had a moment where I was like, man, I love this beer, but like, I can't really drink it how I want to.
Yeah.
I end up feeling really bad.
hop allergies, it's a real thing. So
yeah, so I think I got like a mild hop allergy, but it's whatever. You know, I still love it.
I
will fucking love beer.
good. I think, we talk about Two Hearted probably more than any other beer on here. It was like the first Michigan craft beer. Do you think that's why it's so popular? Or at least in my opinion, like it was like the first one that like started like becoming like regularly on tap at places. And do you think that's the reason it's still popular, or is it just like that good of a beer?
I think it's
that good.
I think it really is good, but it's also just like the standard of IPA that I think a lot of us were introduced to it. You know, that I think like when you start drinking beer, it's like eventually you get a Two Hearted and everyone says, this is really good. And then you drink it and you find that it is good. And that just kind of becomes like what you perceive as good. That's like the first, introduction to that style of beer.
I like that.
Well put.
Whenever I'm like too tuned up at a bar, like I always want like an IPA Two Hearted, and I tell myself, I'm like, no, I can't get Two Hearted. It's you've had too many. You should probably get like a lower ABV. And then like I get there and they're like, what do you want? And I panic and I'm like, Two Hearted. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I drink it. It's delicious.
What are you saying?
Speaking of Two Hearted, my wonderful fiance went to work today and picked up some double Two Hearted.
Nice.
Delicious.
So what, like 9 or 10%?
I think it's 10. Yeah. She just walked in the door. That's why she was like, jingle bells.
Hi, Alexa.
Thanks, Alexa. Hey, say hi.
Hello, Alexa.
Hello.
Joe says hi. Larry says hi. There we go.
Perfect.
So one last thing we wanted to just make sure that we asked about is Saxy Saxman posted that he is like leaving the band, but he's not leaving the band.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that? What are the feelings there?
And before you get into it, I just want to say, like, one of my favorite key integral parts of your shows is just like those killer sax solos.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
man, I'd hate it. Right. Yeah.
Definitely a tough situation. You know, it was a lot to grapple with. It kind of came out of left field because Aaron's always been just like 100% like, let's do band. You know, it's just, it's always, I mean, and just so integral to the identity of this band too. You know, it's like, I think at the end of the day, you know, I had always perceived like he is the rainbow seeker to the band, you know, in a lot of ways, like, and to lose him, you know, I always thought like, if for some reason I lost Aaron or Ryan, you know, or Micah, it's like, I think at that point I got to like change the name, you know, and probably just start a solo career. That's really sort of where my headspace is at. But yeah, I wasn't expecting it. It was extremely tough. You know, one of my best friends, especially musically, and and initially it was kind of like, hey guys, this is the situation, I gotta do it. And I think a lot of it was due to Corona just sort of shutting everything down. His fiance moved in, she's got 3 kids, and he really loves them, and you know, just had a change in priorities, which is like completely understandable. If I all of a sudden had a, you know, my girlfriend, you know, we've been together for a very long time, it's like all of a sudden she was sick with child, you know, I'd probably step back from this too. It's just like, at the end of the day, his priorities shifted and he had to go with that. But you know, a few weeks ago he called me up and he was like, you know, I've been thinking about it, I really don't want to leave, you know, I don't want to just leave this behind, like, so abruptly. So we kind of came to the conclusion where he's gonna play all the Michigan shows and probably some other big dates per his selection, so I'm assuming like Colorado and, you know, places where we do well in, and then in festivals, stuff like that. And we're actually gonna just we're gonna write new parts that will include both of them. So we actually found another saxophone player. We originally, the idea was like, we got to not go with sax. Like, there's no replacing Aaron. It's totally fucking impossible. He's just got too big of a personality on stage. I'll be honest, I was pretty checked out from it. I was like, it's just, that's it, guys. You know, it's, to me, it was like, it's over. Like, I kind of even was like,
damn,
I'm, you know, the end has finally come for us. You know, I didn't know what it would be, but you know, this is it. And the guys were kind of scrambling, just calling people up, looking for people. We were thinking maybe let's go with like just a totally different instrument, like steel guitar or whatever, you know, something that's not just replacing Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, we got on Tinder and, you know, we put
is there a Tinder for bandmates?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just called Tinder. And you know, we typed in saxophone, and we typed in like skinny white guy, this age range, and we found this dude named Caleb, and we swiped right like as hard as
nice.
And
you swiped so hard.
Skinny white guy plays saxophone. Like, it's kind of crazy how like close they look. It's
really
weird. I was like, what the fuck. But I met him for the first time. He's just like a really humble dude, super smart, and a really good player. You know, Aaron is kind of like the music school drop, very untraditional, where Caleb is like, you know, was like one of the best saxophone players for a while to come out of MSU.
Yeah. And I checked out his Instagram.
He plays
some fucking good shit.
Yeah, he's really talented. It's interesting seeing the difference. Obviously Aaron's incredible. You know, just two totally different styles of playing their instrument.
Sure.
But yeah, Aaron decided he wanted to come back. And I think, you know, it was something I really wanted to, just for my own mentality with the band. Like, I kind of was like at this point where it's like, I really don't want to like do it without him, you know? And, but Caleb was really good. You know, the practices were just like, he just like figured out all these parts that are not, you know, they're complex. They're Aaron's not like a horn line player. It's like a full solo. He's kind of got this very, he fills his role in a very particular way that I think this band is capable of offering him. You know, we're not a horn line band, a horn section band. To see Caleb just take to that and really do a great job. But it was cool. But he came back and he wants to, he's still going to be in the studio with us. He's going to be at practices. He's going to be in the band photos.
Good.
He's just stepping back from like the hard touring, which I don't blame. I'm cool with it. Everyone else in the band was cool with it. And for some reason, I think as we were discussing what we were going to do, it's just like, that never came up as like an option for some reason. I just pitched it at a meeting we were having, and all of a sudden everyone's like, was like, yeah, that would totally work. It was just like, oh yes, you know, cool. All right, we live to play another day. So
and us Michigan fans, nothing changes exciting. For us.
Yeah, yeah, it won't. And it's, I think I gotta put it, you know, eventually, you know, the end will come for us. But like, if you're
don't in
like
say
the Michigan music scene, you can kind of play forever, especially when you look at like the folk scene with all the festivals we have.
Oh yeah.
Like, you can tie up touring professionally, but still have like a life of music. And I mean, that's like the long term for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd love to have a big national career or whatever, you know, like that'd be cool. But like, regardless, like eventually that's going to end. And, you know, I Aaron really wants that too. I think his ideal situation would be, we would just stop touring altogether and just go into like retirement mode, you know, just like do the Michigan festivals every year. And, I'm glad we came to a solution. Yeah. It made me feel, like a massive relief to myself too. You know, it's just this weight had been on me, like all of COVID, and it was oppressive, you know. So it's awesome. And Caleb's great. And we didn't originally have a violin player, but one of Aaron's best friends played violin and viola for a while. And a lot of those a lot of the arrangements were written just them two sitting in a room writing these parts. And you know, there's a lot of layering on our records, all the way up to the new stuff. So like, the room is there, and having another melodic instrument is like, I'm really excited for it, because they're both humble enough to pull it off.
It's exciting stuff.
That's really what it takes, is like this, willingness to step aside and give someone else the limelight, and then to be able to step back in. And I really feel confident they're going to be able to do that. I've seen Aaron grow over the years, I know he can do it. And my initial impressions from Caleb is that he's like, he's going to be able to do it. And I think it could really elevate the shows that we're on, you know, that they're both on. So for Michigan people, and for anyone coming to festivals and bigger shows outside of the state, nothing is going to change. Well, it will change. We can have a second saxophone player up there. Okay. And obviously Aaron plays even flute and all this other shit. So it's like, there's just like, when I brought it up to him, he just kind of lit up. He's like, oh wow, I get to do all those other things I always wanted to do in the band, but couldn't because I was shredding, you know?
I was giving the people what they needed.
yeah. So I'm excited. Yeah, it definitely was I'm glad we worked something out, you know?
Yeah, sounds like a really smart move. I'm stoked.
Absolutely. I do gotta ask, does Aaron's mom go to the shows?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't even at the show, but yeah, his parents were.
We put it together. We were at Founders, and Aaron had like a solo, and he was up on the corner, like on a speaker. And there was this lady who looked suspiciously a lot like him, but like older, and like getting really into it, but with like this kind of an older camera. And we were like, wow, she's really into this guy. Like, okay. And then we're like, oh, I wonder if that's his mom. So yeah, it's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, his
Detective
mom's awesome.
Brian at work.
Oh, nothing gets by me.
His parents are always the most present in our
life. All right. Band, that's know? Badass.
Yeah, they're literally at like, I would say like 75% of the shows in Michigan.
That is,
it's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's great to have that too. Cause, I don't know. It's just nice to have like a couple parents there for like those big shows.
Oh, for sure.
And some of us, like our parents don't necessarily come to very many, you know, and like every now and then. My parents live like, my mom just moved back to the States. She was away. My dad lives in Iowa. So just like have some parents there just gives that feel that, you know, all of our parents are there.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, Joe, I mean, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This is, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to, this is a dream come true for
this is so cool. A little bit. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, and I do want to stress, like we, first of all, big fans. Second of all, this show. Like,
second of all, we're big fans.
Second of all, we're big fans. No, but this show, I sincerely want to plug it just not only for like a show to go see you, everyone should go check it out, but just like, it's a snap back to reality, I hope. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like I'm just as excited to get out and like see people in real life again that I am to go to a Joe Hertler concert. It's like a double win.
For real. Yeah. So Joe, we'll be seeing you Friday, what, September 11th.
Yeah. I think, we were able to kind of figure out where we can, this first show is like a test run, you know, and there's a lot of improvements we can make. Yeah. At stage, I was like, hey, Edward, let me know how we did. You know, obviously we're in weird times here. We're trying to do the best we can. Like, give me some feedback. I think we were trying to be as aware of everything we possibly could. We've received a lot of feedback. So I think, especially with sound and stuff like that, we're going to be able to be a lot more accommodating. Cause like this first show, if you were in the back, like the sound just wasn't there for it. You know? But okay. We'll be, it's just shit is spread out.
Baby steps. You know? It's all good.
Yeah. So it was kind of, I'm really glad we did this one. Cause I think we're going to do it very right. You know, if you throw a show, you want it to be great. It's always like, you don't want anyone left out of the experience, you know?
Yeah. And does that hurt? Just even like probably things, I bet it happens all the time. Like just like something that you notice, but you know, like probably like maybe one person in the crowd has noticed, but it like does like just kill you like or bug you just like or you get it kind of like taking those mistakes and rolling.
It depends on the day. If we play bad and you know, there's nothing worse than just feeling like you didn't play bad or like you couldn't get into it, you know, which happens and you get practiced in it, you know, it's like you learn how to perform through those times where you're just not on point. And sometimes it happens like a, you know, your biggest show of the year could be a, you know, you played like shit, but for the most part, people don't notice.
Right.
And I think we're good at kind of just pushing past it. And, you just need to be aware of that stuff and practice through it. You know,
it's a good trait to have.
Absolutely.
Fix things. And sometimes you just have an off, you know, a night where the connection just isn't there for you. Smile through it.
Smile through it.
Like it really helps, you know, if you can like, just not, let negative energy on stage take over you, you're good. You can dig, you know, you can dig yourself out. And if you just like, my goal is like throw out super, it sounds cheesy, you know, but throw out this like as much positive energy as you can. Cause then, you know, people receive that and then give it back to you and you can kind of get out of those situations.
Man, I can't think of beautiful way to end the podcast with those wise sentiments. I like that a lot. Like, that's serious.
Yeah, yeah. There's a relationship in the crowd and the band, you know, and they're both dependent on each other, you know. Yes. And when both are communicating together, that's when you have a good show.
Are there any ties to the sunflower thing from these ideas?
Sunflower. So I like garden. I can't really do it much when I'm on tour.
All right.
But I love gardening. Sunflowers have always been my favorite. And
they
grow very quickly. They kind of explode into all this color and then they just die. And and on their way to death, like everything's trying to kill them. Like squirrels want to eat them. Like they just like have it rough, you know, but they like have their time and they do it really well. And they go out with a total bang, you know, and one that that spreads their seed to many other corners of the garden. So I don't know. All right. It's just sort of one of those things. It's like, I don't know. It's just this like,
it's kind of zen. It's like the circle of life.
I love it. That's okay.
Just like the, this, they struggle so much to like reach this beautiful, beautiful peak, you know? And then it's over and they recycle and it just kind of keeps going. And yeah, there's something to it that, you know, I've smoked a lot of weed and sat in the garden for many hours.
Just stayed
and
watched a lot of sunflowers.
Yeah, I've watched a lot. There's trying to, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The little icons of the band that I think they go, there's a lot of thought behind it.
I was wondering if it was just, I was wondering if it was just like a thing you guys were like, yeah, big sunflower, let's try it. And people went nuts and you're like, all right, we got to do this every time now.
Yeah, it was definitely wasn't that simple. Something to it. I mean, it might have started like sunflower, this would be cool, but I guess that's not the case. It was pretty intentional. And obviously Aaron's the main one whipping that stuff around, but like for me, trying to make those things have meaning. That, I mean, they're inspired by meaning, and that's kind of what places them there, I think.
Awesome.
Well, Joe, again, I can't thank you enough. Everyone, be sure to go to, or actually, like, sincerely though, tickets are selling out like crazy, because just between like the day that I bought them and like I was gonna buy them the day before, the ones I wanted were already sold out. So if you are interested, definitely hop on there. It's like the deck. I'll link it. But
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, they are growing fast.
Cool. Like I said, we will. I assure you, even if you're in those back seats, we'll have like a whole separate sound system back there for the people a little farther away. So it'll be
bringing the A game.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm really excited to keep pushing these and just kind of improve upon each. So,
Yeah. Rock on, bro. Squirtler. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks guys. I like, your hat, by the way, Brian.
Thank you.
Make Obama president again.
Absolutely.
We don't know how it'll work, but we'll figure it out. Maybe
if only.
Yeah. I know, man. Crazy shit. Yeah. I bought this. All right. Someone gave me a hat as a gift. It was like a mocking, Make America Great. It's the REI released fundraiser when the national parks got cut. It just says, I love national parks, but it's like a red hat.
It's red.
I fucking love it. Cause just like every now and then you get a hat that's just like, it fits right. It's got the shape you're looking for. You know, I just love this hat, but it's like, I wore it outside once and I just kept getting looks. And I was like, oh yeah, it looks like a Trump hat.
Oh,
it says, he ruined all red hats, didn't he?
Yeah. It's just like, I heart national parks, you know, and they do like 100% of the proceeds to the national parks. And it's just like, I guess they discontinued them because people. Like,
oh no!
They changed the color. I think you can get blue ones now or something. You can get. Anyways, I'm just rambling. I'm just bummed about this hat because I really love wearing it.
You can make it cool again. Make red hats cool again.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That should be what it says. Yeah, I've seen a couple of them too. That's they're red and they say like "Made you look Black Lives Matter" and like things like that. I'm like, whoa.
Hell yeah.
Before we dive down this rabbit hole.
Let's stop before that's a whole other podcast.
I feel like we could all talk about this for a very long time.
So. And we have, right?
We have.
All right, man.
Anyways.
All right, for real. Again, thank you sincerely. It's been such a good time. And everyone listening, thanks for listening. Bye.
Yeah. Dude. Joe, thank you so much. Hopefully we can, have a Locals Light or a Corona with you on Friday.
Holler at me. I'll be there. Well, thanks, Brian. Thanks, Larry. Guys, take care.
I'll see ya.
Under lengthening light, inside the breath of May, where I found you, cradled in petals, the colors cast to a windy day. And I was overjoyed by the throes of life, a pulsing, undulating essence. It pushes me. Oh, silent gaze. I could hear the forest breathing, ancient and grieving. I was overcome amidst the pulsing haze. A milk white blanket of fog. This is your love, it pushes me. Overgrown, my love.